Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Did you hear about Stacy Brown?
No, we didn't, but we lied to.
He had every chick in town.
No, he didn't, but he tried to.
He had looks, he had class. Do anything to get a little lass. And everyone would shout at him when he walked his girlies past. They said everybody got one.
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 Stacy Brown got two. Do you know the reason for his success?
No, we don't, so tell us.
They say that he was double blessed.
Not like you, fellas.
They say that Stacy Brown was born just a little bit deformed. Still, his girlfriends, they all wake up smiling every morn, singing, everybody got one.
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 Stacy Brown got two. Why they climbing up the wall? One's run and the old one's crawl.
He drives us crazy.
He got two and that's a fact. But no one knows where the other one's at. On his elbow, on his knee, oh, underneath his hat. Singing, everybody got one. Come
everybody
on, sing. Everybody got one.
Everybody,
everybody
got one.
Everybody got one.
Everybody got one.
Stacy Brown got two. True. It's a fact. No, I ain't seen it, but no, I mean, it's a fact. Well, that's what my old lady told me. I mean, I don't know how she knows. How did she know? Maybe somebody told her, huh? Gossip. Maybe it's gossip. How did she know? Maybe it just seems like two. I'm gonna talk to that woman.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Yeah, I would call it the Schnucks Putin aisle, whatever it is. It's open there. Thursday, February 24th, 2022, 259 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Hi, kids. It's JC, and almost anything I say here on the podcast here today is going to be outdated within about 5 minutes. I don't even know where to start here today. I'm going to be honest with you. I was up half the night watching the coverage of the war, which we now have. I don't know if it's a war. It's the invasion's going to lead to a war. I can't tell if the people of Ukraine are fighting back or if Russia is just unloading on the country and the Ukrainians are just like sitting there going, okay, you know, we can handle this so far. I don't know. But this is what it sounds like. Yeah, you wake up in the morning. I think I fell asleep maybe about, 10:30, 11 o'clock. But then this wakes me up. I think this was about, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Yeah.
There's been an air raid siren just suddenly. Oh, here it is.
They're opening the Schnucks panic aisle too.
They are. That's an air raid.
Yeah, it's an air raid.
An air raid siren.
So, yeah, you made that clear. And I'll say this, Those reporters who are doing this stuff are they got a lot of balls. More than one journalist in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, has been thrown out of a window or poisoned or just turned up missing one day. They have reporters on both sides of the line. So they got people in Ukraine and they got people in Russia. I'm not sure that would be me. I will say this. I was really hoping that it wasn't going to be like one of these shock and awe things where, you know, you were just going to have explosions all over the place, like the Persian Gulf War, where you're just sitting there and there are bombs going off all over the place. So at least it's not that. So it says here, 40-plus Ukrainian soldiers reported dead, more wounded as Russia moves in. So that's the CBS breaking news here at 7 o'clock in the morning. While that's going on, we have 6 accidents just on Highway 40 alone. 6! And this is before phase 2 of the storm even moves in later on this morning. I would say like maybe 11 or 12 o'clock today is when the back end of this thing goes through. And, you know, I would say for maybe 3, 4, 5 hours, there's going to be sleet and snow and freezing rain and all that sort of stuff. And the way to judge this storm, by the way, is not going to be, related to snowfall accumulation. When it's said and done, there may only be about an inch or two. The problem is, you know, if you've been outside, you know what we're talking about here. This is very, very dangerous. It's going to get really bad for a few hours. Like I said, anytime after, say, like 11 o'clock until maybe mid to late afternoon. Schnook's Paddock Aisle is open. We have Flake News.
Flake News is a copyrighted feature.
Fox 2 has got Chris Renee out on some street corner. And it just looks like ice. Hold on
here. The Childress behind us. Take a look at this. We're just going to slide right down here. I'm going to get into the
truck. He almost just went down.
Firsthand, so you can see just how icy this street is. Myself and photojournalist Mike Borer in our unit here. Look at Childress. It is a sheet of ice down this street. You have to be extremely careful if you are heading down subdivision streets this morning like this one.
And again, keep in mind, this is before phase 2 of the storm even moves in, and then it's going to get really interesting. All right, so like I said, I was up half the night. I'm really, really tired. I'm not all here. I can't even guarantee that I'm going to give you the whole half hour today or that it's going to make any sense. And I'm moving on from the storm because we've already established what's going to happen and how bad it already is right now. And we already know that Putin, you know, what he's doing, some of the scenes are coming in, some of the recording of the damage from overnight is coming in, and so we're just moving on to something else. Soulard Mardi Gras coming up this weekend, and looks like sunshine at about 40 degrees. It's going to be a real warm-up next week, by the way. Too bad it can't get here a little sooner, because it's going to be, you know, upper 50s, maybe even lower 60s, first part of next week. But a chilly weekend, but a lot better than some Soulard Mardi Gras I've been to. I just remember that one, and I still remember the year because it was 1995. And I remember that because it was my second back operation, and I couldn't go. And so I was stuck up in my bedroom with a neck brace on and recovering from the surgery. Meanwhile, they estimated the crowd at 700,000 people in Soulard for the Mardi Gras in 1995 because the temperature got up to like something like 78 degrees and people went, fuck it, I don't care what I was going to do. We're heading for Soulard. And that was pretty much the deal. I've also been at Soulard Mardi Gras where, you know, you're standing on ice. It's like, come on, here's the tent. You go in the tent. Well, the tent was set up after the storm had gone through, so you're just standing on ice, and your feet are frozen after about 15 minutes. Most people, though, not feeling it. Not feeling it at all, if you know what I mean. Oh, yeah, in the invasion, the other part of this whole thing is going to be, here we go again. There's people already politicizing and saying, well, Ronald Reagan wouldn't have ever, Ronald Reagan didn't have to deal with Vladimir. Well, I'm sorry, I keep mispronouncing his name. Let me go to Brent Solomon at Channel 5 for the correct pronunciation of the Russian leader.
We are continuing to watch tensions between Russia and Ukraine. Today, Russia's President Vladimir Putin's...
No. The man has his own pronunciation of...
President Vladimir Putin's...
Anyhow, the foreign markets, you know, which have been open all night, they're all plunging. And gasoline is going to go over $4 almost immediately. Just watch. So that only means that gasoline, rent, meat, used cars, and everything else we need to survive is jumping up in price. Okay. Going to look back at the last 2 years of the pandemic and remember them as the good old days. By the way, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post yesterday, but I had to go to Costco. And so my wife says, well, go early. I'm like, well, why don't I go early? You go, it opens to the general public at 10 o'clock, but you're over the age of 60, and they let you in an hour early to shop. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you get there. And it looked like a bunch of 19-year-olds trying to get into the Cincinnati Who concert. What is Tom Brady up to? There were a bunch of people running around last week going, oh, you know, we think he's going to come out of retirement, but he's not going to play for Tampa. He's going to play for another team. It's like, well, first of all, you couldn't really do that because Tampa still owns the rights to him right now. So those stories appear to be BS, as is most of this kind of stuff. But this one's for real. This is a real Tom Brady story. He's doing a buddy road trip movie with Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Sally Field, and Rita Moreno. But the tragedy is that he will not be traveling cross-country with them in a car. At least it doesn't seem that way. The movie is called 80 for Brady, and it's based on the true story of four best friends and New England Patriots fans who take a trip to Super Bowl 51 to see Tom Brady play. Now, the thing about it is Tom is going to be producing the movie and was reportedly deeply involved in getting it off the ground. So Tom Brady now is a motion picture producer. Okay. I don't know. You know, maybe just because he played football and that's all we ever saw, maybe he has hidden talents we know nothing about. This is going to bring out all of the Jane Fonda haters, too. For God's sakes, once and for all, is everything that you did when you were like 19, 20, 21 years old, everything you did at that age, if it were examined and held up for scrutiny, no, you wouldn't have anything dumb that you did when you were that age. And oh, by the way, if you really are serious about it and you're paying attention, Jane Fonda's probably done more for servicemen coming back from wars and conflicts overseas than about 99% of the people who call themselves patriots and run around waving flags, but really when it comes down to it, not really doing a goddamn thing. Jane Fonda has spent a big, big chunk of her life and used a lot of her financial resources to help out returning soldiers, and that's the truth. But in this country, we need villains, and she apparently, especially for the low IQ crowd and the people who don't read newspapers and watch anything other than Fox News, we know how they make their decisions. But I still think this is a weird story that Tom Brady is going from football into being a movie producer. A bunch of 80-year-old women. What is up with that? Okay. Turns out Jerry Lewis was a total pervert, apparently, and nobody seems very surprised. Vanity Fair article published yesterday, and it's amazing. I mean, these are really, really big names. These are huge names in motion pictures and entertainment. You know, women who at the time, you know, and in their era were certainly as famous as the, the Kardashians or anybody like that, except that these women had talent. You know, like Lainey Kazan. Who are the other women in this thing? Hold on, let me see if I can find this. Renee Taylor was a comic in New York City in the 1960s. She was on The Tonight Show and stuff like that. Jill St. John. She was in movies with like Frank Sinatra, Connie Stevens, Anna Maria Alberghetti. I mentioned Lainey Kazan. These women are all, you know, in their 80s, pushing 90 right now. All of their stories are the same. And I'm always fascinated by these guys because they got Charlie Rose disease. Somewhere along the line, where did these men get the idea that you could bring some, you know, 22-year-old actress into your trailer on a movie set and just whip it out and say, here, go at it? Did that ever work? I guess it must have because these guys were doing it. They're all these stories are the same. Not once have I ever tried to meet a woman or coerce a woman into having sex with me by just, you know, having her walk into a room and me just whip it out. You know why? Because I have no reason to believe that that would work. That's not how you get a woman to sleep with you. Unless you're one of those sick fucks who really gets off on the idea of doing it with somebody who doesn't want to be doing it. You know, like rape. Half the fun of getting sex with a new woman is knowing that you have worked your magic, whatever that is as a guy, you know, whatever your MO is, however you do it, that you've been successful in working that magic to the point where she wants you to have sex with her. But there are people who get off on the idea of doing it to somebody who doesn't want to be doing it with you. And this Vanity Fair story about Jerry Lewis. And again, nobody seems surprised. He was a real asshole when he wanted to be. Immensely talented, but not a good guy. All that those hundreds of millions of dollars that he raised for muscular dystrophy. But if it's counterbalanced by the fact that you're just running around being a pervert, it seems like the whole thing's going to end up being a wash. Back in 2016, you had this thing, Ann and Nancy Wilson. I just love them both. I love them both. I've met them on numerous occasions. Got a little chance to actually spend. I was on their tour bus once in Michigan back in the late 70s. And Nancy was really spending, you know, quality time. We were really getting to know each other. It was really nice. Well, nothing untoward. Both of the girls had boyfriends at the time. They were just really, really nice. And I love the girls, like I said. I had interviews with them a couple of times, which you have heard. And I remember in some of those interviews saying, you know, do you guys ever fight? Because it's, yeah, you're on the road together, you're with together, you're sisters, and you play together, and then you're back at the hotel together. And all. Is there anything that's ever happened between you guys or amongst the group where you're like, this not only threatens our relationship, but it also threatens the band? And their answers was usually like, you know, families are families and, you know, people fight. We understand that. But back in 2016, you may recall Ann and Nancy had a nasty falling out when Ann's husband assaulted Nancy's twin 16-year-old sons because one of the boys left a tour bus door open. So apparently Ann's husband had more than words with the two 16-year-old boys, and that caused a split, and then the girls split up, and then there was no music, and that's the deal. Well, in 2019, they reconciled, but that was the last time they performed together as Heart. They actually came into St. Louis and played the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. There was a little bit of controversy on that show, too, because Sheryl Crow was the opening act. And a lot of people thought that it should have been the other way around. You know, a lot of people were like, Heart should have been the opening act for Sheryl Crow. But it didn't bother me. You know, we really enjoyed the show. I love the band. So again, they have the split. They get back together. Maybe things are a little bit rocky. Nancy now is going to go on tour as Nancy Wilson's Heart without Anne. Her lead singer is going to be somebody named Kimberly Nicole, a former finalist on The Voice. So it sounds like there might still be some residual tension between Ann and Nancy from their falling out a couple of years back. I hate to see stories like that. Latest on Bob Saget. Police think Bob Saget lost consciousness in his hotel bathroom, fell, hit his head on the marble floor, then regained consciousness, stumbled into bed where he died. And regardless of police investigations, people who actually have access to the facts and to the toxicology reports and just the, you know, everything that you get when you do a police investigation, people who haven't even read the investigation report are still not going to accept this as the real story. We know that already. By the way, as I'm talking to you here, I have a couple of television monitors here. I've got CBS over here, Channel 4's morning show, Fox 2. They got reporters out on the streets, and it looks treacherous out there. And again, anytime after about 11 o'clock today, the bulk of the storm comes through, and for 4 or 5 hours, there's probably going to be some heavy stuff, and it's mostly going to be coming down. It appears to be sleet. And I know when you say this, this upsets people who have businesses, restaurants, stuff like that. But this really is one of those cases where if you don't have to go out today, probably a good idea to stay in. My friends Tom Schwartz and Ted Williams got me watching women's soccer. Last night I watched this thing from just outside of Dallas, like the I Am Woman Bowl or something. I forget what they called the thing. I watched because these chicks are badasses. I don't even understand soccer. I'm trying to learn as I go. Because this soccer team we're going to have in St. Louis, it's going to be a big deal. And I have avoided soccer my whole life. I think it's a dumb sport. You know, people complain about baseball. Oh, the games are too long, not enough action. Well, you watch a soccer game and it's like, well, last night was unusual because the Americans scored 5 goals, but that's not normal. Normal is like, you know, 1 or 2 goals on the entire game. Nobody seems to complain about that. And those games are pretty fucking long, too. So don't talk to me about baseball. Does that mean I'm starved for entertainment because there's no baseball games on? First Cardinal exhibition game was supposed to be this weekend. And the owners, by the way, yesterday amped things up a little bit more. They turned it up a notch and they just basically said, we're setting a deadline now, and I don't even want to look at what the deadline is. I don't want to know. Get the goddamn thing worked out, and then let me know when you start playing. I'm not playing this game where every couple of days, sometimes every couple of hours, or some sort of little thing. They're both making little minor concessions that mean nothing. By the way, now they're showing Highway 40 downtown and it doesn't look bad at all. It just looks wet.
A plow this morning. The first round started as snow, then switched to a mix of sleet and ice. And by yesterday evening.
Yeah, we know all that. We know all that. All right. A late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Gordon Ramsay, the American Idol judges, Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan on with Kimmel tonight. Nora O'Donnell from CBS News on with Colbert. James Corden has Will Arnett. And from Euphoria, Judd Apatow's daughter, Maude Apatow, who's very, very good actress. She's on with Seth Meyers tonight. Christine Taylor. She was the girl who played Marsha Brady in the Brady Bunch movies. Married Ben Stiller. She was in The Wedding Singer. She was in almost all of Ben Stiller's movies, whether he was acting, directing, or both. And it was like one of those really good Hollywood couple stories. And she's very, very pretty. I've interviewed her once or twice. Seemed like a very, very nice girl. It was very surprising when they split up. And that was maybe, what, 10 years ago? They're back together. So you never say never. You never say never. Birthdays today, Floyd Mayweather Jr., 45. Billy Zane from Titanic, 56. Rupert Holmes, Jesus, do I hate this guy, and I hate his stupid pina colada song, 75. Let me just tell you something. People at radio stations are always doing what they call music testing. There's a couple of different ways that they do this. Sometimes they get 300 people in an auditorium, and they play them little parts of songs. They call it the hook. You play the hook, and then people write down, oh, I hate that song, I give it a 0, or I love that song, I give it a 10. You know what that song gets the highest marks from is women. And yet, the story of the song, the story that is embedded in the song, is about two people trying to cheat on one another, which I have been told somewhere along the line irritates women. So you tell me. He's 75 today. Good, he's almost dead. Ever James Olmos from Miami Vice, 75. Paul Jones, the lead singer in Manfred Mann's Doo-Wah Diddy, is 80 today. George Harrison may have been born on this date. We're not really sure. While he was alive, George preferred to celebrate his birthday on the 24th, but his birth certificate says the 25th. Tommy Chong's bong business got raided by the feds on this date 19 years ago in 2003. You can thank former Missouri Attorney General who went on to be the AG for these here United States of America, John Ashcroft, one of the singing senators.
Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before, from Rocky Coast to Golden Shore.
Anybody got a gong? Where's Jamie Farr and J.P. Morgan when you need them? Anyhow, when you look at the facts of the case, they clearly entrapped Tommy Chong and put him in jail for a year for selling paraphernalia on an interstate basis, which was illegal. I guess it still is illegal, but it was bullshit what Ashcroft did. Just trying to put points on the board. And 8 years ago today, 2014, the entertainment world really shocked and very, very saddened by the death of Harold Ramis. He was only 69, gave us Ghostbusters, Animal House, Meatballs, Stripes, Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day, Analyze This, and more. I spent an entire weekend with Harold Ramis once in St. Louis for Founders Day at WashU. Wonderful guy. Just a wonderful guy. And I love so many of his movies. 69, that's awfully young to be gone. Police around the country make a surprisingly high number of trips to Chuck E. Cheese because of fights between the adults. In fact, in a lot of cities, there are more fights at Chuck E. Cheese than any other restaurant. The theory is that people are more likely to fight because their biological instinct is to protect their kids, and that kicks in. Oh, and by the way, there's beer. Today is National Chili Day and National Tortilla Chip Day, so I guess this is fitting. Somebody asked people to rank the best topping to put on chili, and tortilla chips ranked high on the list. The top five: cheese, crackers, cornbread, sour cream, and tortilla chips. Onions, hot sauce, and avocado also made the top 10. 95% of people say they like or love chili. 4% don't like it, and 1% dislike it enough to use the word hate. The poll also looked at the most popular ways to eat chili, and in a bowl got the most votes. We're not going to put it on a plate. 12% prefer it on a hot dog. 9% said in a bag of Cheetos. They call that the Frito pie. 8% said chili fries is their favorite way to eat it. There might be a few in the top 10 you never heard of, though. On rice was number 6, followed by on a baked potato, on garlic bread, on spaghetti mixed together with mac and cheese. 2% said the best way to eat chili is on a sloppy Joe. Our entire society is changing right before our very eyes, and all you have to do is look at the American workplace to know that with so many people working remotely right now, people do annoying things in offices. Somebody did a survey. They don't like people talking too loud while you're trying to work. People who cough or sneeze don't cover their mouth. Co-workers come into work even when they are sick. Slow computers was number 4. IT issues, number 5. Smelly bathrooms at number 6. People who leave dirty dishes in the work sink, that's number 7. Number 8, when you're in the bathroom and realize somebody didn't wash their hands. Gross toilet seats, toilet bowls when your computer keeps crashing. And then a few more in the top 20. Close talkers, printer issues, brown nosers, smelly lunches, and people who call in sick when you know they're not. There's people who want to convince us that there's something very magical that takes place just as we are about to buy the farm. We've always heard, we've always been told that your life passes before your eyes. Well, 87-year-old man recently died of a heart attack while he was having his brain scanned. So he went in for a brain scan, has a heart attack. And right when his heart stopped, his brain waves changed and look like they do when we're dreaming, flashing back, or processing a lot of information. The lead author of the study says it's possible his brain was rapidly replaying old memories from his life, although it's also possible he was just dreaming or hallucinating, and whatever his brain thought it saw was meaningless. They've seen similar brain activity in rats before they die, so it's possible all animals, all mammals, experience it to some extent. But they got to do more research. But, you know, how do you know when somebody's going to die? This was just happenstance. But the guy was having a brain scan, and while he was having the brain scan, he checks out. So they got all his data. We've stopped washing our hands, or at least a lot of us have. 25% decrease in hand washing compared to what was going on during the pandemic. We were washing our hands 10.5 times a day. Now it's 7.8 times. And that TikTok challenge thing that's been going on where you bark at your dog, well, the American Kennel Club says don't do that. Barking at your dog or any dog actually traumatizes them, and they might even respond aggressively or bite your face. And it was on this date in 1989, I found myself in Los Angeles, California. There was a movie called Skin Deep. It was directed by Blake Edwards, the famous Hollywood director who gave us, among other things, the Pink Panther series. This was a film with John Ritter. Got a chance to interview him. He was a blast. Julianne Phillips was in this movie, and it came out right after her marriage to one Mr. Bruce Springsteen had broken up. And they're like, don't ask her any questions about Bruce Springsteen. Like, okay, walk in the interview, sit down. So tell me about this thing with Bruce. They don't like when I did that, but it is part of my job. And she was very matter of fact about it. She was like, hey, look, you know, I live my life. I do what I do. People are going to write stuff and say stuff regardless of whether there's any truth to it, number one, and regardless of anything for that matter. People just do what they do. You can't control it. I move on. She's very pretty, by the way. Very pretty. And she was nice. She was nice about it. But the thing I remember is Blake Edwards. I'd never met him before. I mean, not just the Pink Panther series, but also like the movie 10 and stuff like that. And I walk in, I sit down, and he says, St. Louis, huh? I was like, yeah. He goes, St. Louis. I'm like, yeah, why? Have you been there? He goes, when I was a kid, like 15 years old, I was living in California, but my parents sent me to a boarding school up near Elsa, Illinois, and he broke out of the place and hitchhiked his way back to California. He was like 15, 16 years old. He didn't elaborate as to what happened after that, but, you know, as they say, the rest is history. You never know when you sit down what somebody is going to spit out in an interview. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll be here. The storm will be over. And then we sit and we wait for these people running baseball to try to work this out. Opening day is like a month away. 5 weeks. 5 weeks away. Somebody do something, please. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, February 24th, 2022 is in the books. 259 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We're free. We're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We archive everything. Email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country. Stay in for the next couple of hours. If you're listening to this as we publish at 7 a.m. All of this should be over by mid to late afternoon, but boy, these midday hours today could be a little on the tricky side. Good luck. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.